And then, the first beatitude, remember? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Can poor people, question, can people who are actually poor be rich in spirit? Can rich people be poor in spirit? In other words, not attached in spirit to anything in this world. Third, love for the poor is irreconcilable with the immoderate love of wealth or its egotistical use. Sisters, in the United States, the latest figure that I have is in 1 year, just for advertising, to sell things, and my favorite definition of advertising is what makes people buy what they don't need with money they don't have. My favorite definition of advertising. Make people buy what they don't need with money they don't have. And the annual cost of advertising in the United States, last figure is $170 billion every year. In other words, when Christ tells us to practice poverty of spirit, he means it as a condition for salvation. Next, St. John Chrysostom tells us, not to share our goods with the poor is to steal from them. Sisters, that statement is worth memorizing. That's why I also put the source. Not to share our goods with the poor is to steal from them. Number five, the works of mercy are to relieve both the material and the spiritual needs of others. Their spiritual needs include instruction in the faith, counseling and advising, and consoling and forgiving those who have offended us. Remember, there are two kinds of works of mercy. Remember? What are they? Corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. And sisters, I'm sure you've been told this many times. You are missionaries of charity not only, I would even say not mainly, to provide for the corporal needs of people. You do that. You are to provide for the spiritual needs of people. And finally, people possessed, or better, oppressed by poverty, whether physical or otherwise, through the special compassion of Christ, we are to demonstrate the same compassion. Now the eighth commandment. As we know, the seventh commandment goes along with what other commandment? Seventh and tenth. We may see, depending on how much time we've got, something about the tenth commandment too, but now the eighth commandment. It reads in the scriptures, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. However, the eighth commandment not only forbids falsifying the truth, but more fundamentally, and how this needs to be said, the eighth commandment prescribes the duty have of our vocation to God's holy people, to witness to Him who is and who wants the truth. Over the centuries, sisters, you may be surprised, but the duty to profess and promote the true faith is based on the Eighth Commandment. In other words, we are not only obliged not to tell lies, we are obliged to not just tell, but teach the truth. What does it mean to live in truth? And by the way, all of these questions, they are mine, but they are based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. To live in truth first means to believe in Jesus Christ, who is truth incarnate. And let me tell you, I see many people. I deal with different cultures. And I cannot begin to tell you the gift, the great superhuman gift that God has given us in knowing the true faith. Sisters, it is a tremendous gift from God. I mean it. The truth keeps us sane. And millions, hundreds of millions, who don't know the truth, who is God become man, and further means to live according to Christ's teachings. And that is why, as I've told you, I taught in 6 Protestant seminaries. And they never once, I told you, didn't I? They never once asked me to teach. I don't see a course, even one lecture, in Protestantism. They couldn't care less. Always to teach them Catholicism. And to pay my superiors good money for me to teach the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Catholic faith. And in the 5 years that I taught at a state university, over 2,000 students, I published a book. Find a copy somewhere. Read it. It is called The Hungry Generation. The Hungry Generation. The young people that I taught, most of them not Catholic, many not even Christians, starving for the truth. Did I tell you, sisters, what? What is the Church's definition of peace of mind? What is peace of mind? Peace of mind is the experience of knowing the truth. That's peace of mind. It especially means living in conformity with Christ's example and thus remaining in His truth. St. John reminds us, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. And as I've told your sisters, now that I know the name of the place that I was teaching, the Donum Fidei. You know that? The gift of faith.